Hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah guys, hello and welcome to the first official episode of 2021.
Our second season.
It's crazy. It's mad. Like, and our first full season as well.
Our first full season. Yeah, that's true.
Very exciting. How are you doing, Lucy, man? Long time.
I am thankful that I'm alive, but just lockdown is kicking my ass. But, you know, the good thing is I know I'm not the only one. I see a lot of people talking about it as well. So, yeah. Guys, if you're feeling low, tired, just know you're not alone. And we just hope that we can pull this through and, you know, move on from this because it's mentally draining. But yeah,
indeed. No,
what about you?
Yes, it's been a crazy one for me. So we've actually had a positive test in the household, which is a bit mad.
Boy, this is what I told him, Eugene. You gotta get out.
Don't. So we're all isolating at the moment.
That's good.
I have been showing symptoms, so I'm just laying low myself. But I'm okay because they're just mild symptoms, so I'm fine. But very excited about the tennis that's literally on the horizon.
Yeah. I think this is going to keep us going. I literally was like, fam, I can't wait for tennis. I can't wait for us to pod. Like, I was like, messaging Eugene, like, when are we podding again?
Literally, like, New Year's Day, you called. You're like, when are we going to start up again?
Yeah, like, when are we start? Like, what are the dates? What's going on? Because I just felt like, okay, I can't do anything. So this is the one thing that can help me, help my mind and get out of everything. And my TL is finally going to be full of tennis stuff and not useless topics. So honestly, I am so looking forward for the season. And yeah.
No, same. So yeah, let's just get into it. The first thing I want to talk about, or the first few events I want to talk about, are the opening events on the ATP Tour and the WTA Tour. But I think we should start on the ATP Tour. So Delray Beach in Florida, that went down at the start of January now, and that was won by Hubert Hurkacz of Poland. But yeah, like, some significant kind of matches kind of happened at that event. So we had Francis Tiafoe, friend of the pod now, Francis Tiafoe,
friend
shouts
of the
out
pod. By the way guys, if you haven't listened to the interview, you better go and listen to it next.
Definitely
really good, really entertaining.
Go do that. So yeah, Francis, he opened up against Donald Young, another Black American, which was quite exciting to see.
Yeah, everyone was excited about that.
Yeah, and it was a good match, to be fair. Like, kind of Francis's quality, I thought, shone through, like, in the end. But just as a spectacle, it was just great to see. Like, what this pod's about. Like, we love to see, you know, Black players competing, like, at the highest level.
Yeah,
so
especially Black men.
Exactly, players. Which is a very rare thing. So that was great to see. So yeah, Francis beat Young in straight sets, and then he took on Bjorn Frantangelo in the second round, and that was a bit tougher actually. He won in three sets, but yeah. It's a good, like, high level of tennis played in that match. And it was kind of mad, like, watching, because, like, it looked really hot, like, in terms of conditions in Florida.
Yeah.
So and Francis, like, he sweats buckets.
Yeah.
So, like,
his shorts
were drenched. but no, he got through, which is great to see. And then in the quarterfinals, he took on the Brit Cam Nouri. Francis made a slow start, so I think he lost the first set, I want to say 6-love. And I was like, hang on a minute, what's going on here?
I didn't expect that one to go like that.
Yeah, and then in the second set, he picked up, won the second set, and then he lost the third set, the deciding set, unfortunately. Mm. But no, good level of tennis, like, played, and obviously to get to the quarterfinals, it was a good effort. So we're shouting out Francis Tiafoe for his efforts in Delray Beach. And then on the women's side, we had the event in Abu Dhabi, and that's been pretty good. Yeah, so that was won by Irina Sabalenka. She's on a city run right now. I think it's 15 matches, like a 15 match winning streak, like which dates back to last year. What was the event? Just was it Linz? I think she won.
I think so. I can't remember the top of my head.
I think it was Linz. So yeah, that's Sabalenka in like fine form. But for that event, we had Heather Watson taking part. So she beat fellow Brit Jodie Burridge in the first round, and that was a three set match. And it's funny because obviously we saw a lot of Heather Watson like during the Battle of the Brits last year.
She was just
basically like just storming through, like you know.
I think she just enjoys playing, honestly. I think she just really likes it. She just enjoys being a player and just doing what she has to do.
But this match against Burridge in Abu Dhabi, she did struggle. Like it was three sets, but
yeah. We need to keep in mind that this was the first tournament anyways.
Exactly. And I think as well, the pressure was a bit different because obviously this is like a WTA event. So
yeah, exactly.
Like all the pressure was pretty much on Heather Watson, even though she's like the higher ranked player.
Yeah.
Burridge had nothing to lose. And like she kind of played that way as well, which I thought was some good showing. Well, yeah, good signs for her going forward, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Heather then played Ekaterina
Alexandrova.
That's exact. Come on, Lucy.
For the first time I get it right. Come on, Lucy. You're the one that pronounces the name properly.
Come on, Lucy. Yeah, so that was the second round for Heather Watson, and that's where her tournament came to an end. And that was a three set match. I didn't watch it, I'm gonna admit, hold my hands up. Because I think that was taking place. It was an early match, and I was working late, so I was pretty much in bed. Apologies, but when I saw the score, I was like, "Fair play to Heather," because that's again to take a player like that's ranked higher than you to three sets is good going. So good good effort. And then we had Coco Gauff. She was also in the draw, so she started against, again I'm going to butcher this name, Ulrika Ikari. I think she's from Switzerland. And yeah, Gauff absolutely steamrolled through that one. And I did watch that, and I was very impressed with Goff's level. Like the level was great, but I was more impressed with her just attitude. Because it was just such a professional, like, I'm just going to get this done. And, like, I want to say it was...
She probably worked on that during the lockdown.
Definitely. That wouldn't surprise me. So that was great to see. And then in the second round, she took on Maria Sakkari, who's like...
That was probably one of my favourite matches.
Really?
Yeah.
That was straight sets. Sakkari ended up winning.
Yeah.
But yeah. What was your take?
Although she, I understand that she lost and stuff, but the energy and the effort from both of them were great. That Maria girl, I am officially a fan now. I'm not gonna lie to you. After seeing her play for the past couple of months, like during the, before the US Open and stuff like that, like her against Serena and stuff, that she was playing just so amazing. I actually wanted her to win. When like she was going through, not the one against Coco, after like she was going through and stuff, I was like, yeah, I want her to bag the tournament. I think she lost to Sabalenka, wasn't
it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she lost to Sabalenka.
Someone who's way more, you know, experienced, had been winning like crazy lately. But I think if it was another player, she probably would have bagged this. But she's definitely someone I'm going to be a fan of. But Coco was playing really well that match. It was tough on her because... Sakkari?
I want to say Sakkari.
I think Sakkari, yeah. But Sakkari was pretty. What's the word?
It is Sakkari actually.
Is it? Anyway, Sakkari, yeah. Whatever it is. She was a tough opponent during that match.
They played each other during the was it Western and Southern?
Did it? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Pretty sure they did.
I thought that was their first match against each other.
No, they played each other. Yeah, they played each other in Cincinnati, the Cincinnati event before the US Open. And again, Sakkari won in straight sets.
That's true. Yeah. See, exactly. So there's that as well. So, but it wasn't easy for her. Like,
yeah, the level.
Oko made it tough as well. Yeah, up. The level was great for both of them. So, I really enjoyed it.
So shouts out to Coco, and also in that event we had Jasmine Paolini, our Italian Ghanaian sister. She opened up against the Canadian, a talented teenage Canadian actually, Leila Fernandez, who's got serious game.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a tough one for her, to be fair. Yeah. Fernandez can be very tricky, like tricky and stuff. She plays tricky shots. I'm like,
so Fernandez ended up winning through, which wasn't wasn't really a big shock, to be fair. Because yeah, like you said, that she's a talent, and like, I think that's definitely a name to look out for. And she'll
100%.
She'll be playing doubles with Heather Watson at the Australian Open, which is going to be quite fun to see.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So we'll keep an eye out for that. So that kind of rounds up the events we've had to date. I mean, there was an event in Turkey, Antalya. Alex Dimonor, the Australian, he won that. But yeah, there weren't any black players in that draw, so we weren't really paying. I wasn't paying much attention to that event. No shade.
No, hella shade.
So yeah, also kind of taking place around the same kind of time, or I think like a week later anyway, was Australian Open qualifying. So obviously because of the whole pandemic, qualifying didn't take place in Melbourne like usual. Yeah. So for the men, they were in the men were in Doha, and the women were in Dubai. So it was a decent, like a good number of like black women anyway. In the qualifying draw. But Whitney Osigwe, the 18-year-old American, she was the only one that made it through. So like we had Sasha Vickery, who we also had on the pod, friend of the pod last year. I think she lost in the second round of qualifying. Asia Muhammad also was in the draw. Who else was in there? We did post about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we said, Whitney Osigwe was the only woman to make it through. So shouts out to Whitney Osigwe. And on the men's side, we had Elias Yima of Sweden and Michael Moe of America. They both also made it all the way through. So shouts out to those two, or those three, I should say. And yeah, we'll talk more about the Australian Open in our next pod. But yeah, we've got we had three players kind of make it through qualifying, which is it's not a great number, but obviously shouts out to those that you know kind of pulled through.
And even those who didn't, like next time we're gonna bag this.
No, definitely. So yeah, Lucy, before we kind of talk about like the whole hard lockdown and like Australian Open lead up events, I do want to kind of give a quick. Or get your take on some of the like the news that are kind of broken like this year so far. So,
for a sport that's not been active for an entire season, there was so much tennis shit that's been happening for the past. Like, it's like what?
A lot has happened.
I can't keep up.
So the first thing I want to talk about, and I don't want to spend too much time, is the unfortunate comments. Made by Ion Ciriac, the clown from Romania, who had some pretty like nasty things to say about Serena Williams. And again, we posted about this on social because shouts out to Maney, he kind of brought it to our attention. So there was an interview that Ciriac did in Romania, where he he basically said that Serena should retire, and that I can't remember the actual comments. Let me just get them because I don't want to misquote. But they were basically racist, misogynistic, like just all the
things. I've personally got into a position where I'm actually so bored of like. Like, aren't you guys bored or just making those same similar comments? Like, she's really minding her business, taking care of her child, exactly, taking care of her businesses and playing well. And here you are.
Because that's exactly what Tomaini said in his piece. Like, he was like, yeah, so there hasn't been much reason to talk about Serena Williams lately.
Honestly, like, it's not like there's even been a tournament. She lives on their mind.
That's what he said. So,
there's literally no tennis at the moment.
So,
well, there wasn't then.
Tomaini basically said, yeah, she last competed in September, withdrawing from the second round of the French Open with an Achilles injury. And has been resting, baking cookies with her family and training for the new season, which is literally what she's been doing. Yet, obviously, Turiak comes. So these are the comments, actually. So he basically said, at this age and weight. I mean, what? So yeah, at this age and weight, at this age and weight she is now, she does not move as easily as she did 15 years ago. Serena was a sensational player. If she had a little decency, she would retire. Like, what?
Like I've been saying.
Properly unhinged, like, what, just coming out of nowhere, those kind of statements, like.
And like I've been saying over and over, if Serena came back from her maternity leave and she was losing recklessly, and when I mean recklessly, I'm talking about first round, second round, then I could understand. This woman was literally in Grand Slam finals back to fucking back.
Straight up.
Like, it's just like, at this moment, I'm just so tired and fed up of it. Like, this is another reason why I'm desperate for her to win a slam so they can shut the fuck up.
It's a bit crazy as well, because I saw some stuff on Twitter, just basically, not addressing but calling out Tyriac, because he owns the Madrid Open, which is like a major event.
Wait, I thought he was just like a director in it.
No, so he actually owns the event, which means obviously he's kind of, you know, it's kind of under the guidance or the, what's the word, I can't think of the word, but obviously the ATP and WTA, you know, there should be some kind of, I can't think of the word, but yeah. Definitely.
Some people, I think when Alexis made that thing, some fans were even like messaging him saying like, we need to get this up to the board, because this is someone who, like, he's part of like literally a fucking
establishment. Exactly.
The comment that he made, he shouldn't be allowed to make it at 100%. All.
100%.
I'm telling you, if that was a black person who was in his position and said something similar to any other player, that nigga would have been out.
And it goes back to the point I kind of made last year now, like with the whole Black Lives Matter stuff, like with the whole reluctance of like tennis's authorities to kind of address issues like pertaining to race.
Yeah, like if he was just like a media guy, I can understand, but he's part of like these talk. I just hope that she does not play the Madrid Open. Like, honestly, like, he does not, you know.
That would be huge. It would be sad, but it would be like, it would be a powerful statement.
She can leave them. We don't need them. Honestly, I'm just so sick and tired of these people just chatting shit.
No, it's unfortunate. And it's just crazy considering, like, what, she's 39 years old.
Hello, they're not asking all the men who are playing to retire.
This is what I'm saying.
Do you know what's so funny? They never say Federer to retire.
No.
They don't say it. They just say, oh, he might. He's getting old. But they never say, yeah, he needs to. They never say Federer needs to. Yeah, for the past 2-3 years, Serena has been in more finals than him.
Yeah.
In more Grand Slam finals than him.
Yeah.
Hello?
No, it's sad. But like we were always saying, like, the black athlete is kind of held to a different standard, sadly.
Always. And I think that's why she's even in a position where she honestly, like, she's like, I don't
know. Oh, she's tired. Yeah, definitely. Like,
can you imagine, like, how long has she been in this? Like, to her, that's literally nothing.
Definitely.
So that's why she has her supportive husband who's out here barking back.
Doing all the clapping back for her. Mm. So yeah, that was Tyriak, which was unfortunate, and we hope he is duly dealt with. And then more positive news anyway, Naomi Osaka, she's just been like killing it left, right and center. I've been loving your comments about where the money.
Where the what? Where the money was at? Where the money was at? Where the money was at? Where the money was at?
So it's just mad. I can't even like reel off literally all of the deals that she's signed in like recent times.
Just be here, just chilling, and then boom, deal. All right, cool. Next day, boom.
As we record this, there's probably another deal that she's about to announce. Like.
Literally, I'm pretty sure before the Australian Open, I'm so certain she's got another one coming.
I think there's something. I think there's something with Levi. I think
I saw she someone. Was doing because I was watching her Vogue stuff. She did like a 24 hours with Vogue.
I've not seen that. Yeah,
and she was doing like a shoot with Levi's, but okay. I didn't put it 2 and 2 together. But now that you said it, I'm pretty
some
sure
kind of collab. So yeah, just like off. Well, I say off the top. She's got an endorsement with Louis Vuitton, which is huge. Tag Heuer, the Swiss luxury watchmaker. Mm-hmm. Workday, which is now going to be like on her clothing, you know, like because she's her got like clothing, different yeah. patches, like sponsored.
That means they paid her hella money.
And then the one I love, obviously being a football fan or soccer fan, if you're listening in the US, is the latest like investment she's made in North Carolina Courage. I think that's the name of the women's soccer team. So like she's like now a joint owner, and I want to say Chris Paul, the basketball player, he's also a joint owner of the team. So quite a powerful kind of like contingent of athletes,
especially at her age. She's like 23.
It's mad, and it's just
that's so crazy.
It's just great to see. Like I love how she's just so astute when it comes to like, well, yeah, like business, and it's just a great example. Like,
and it looks like she does not just sign up with just any, because anytime she signs up, there's always a story behind.
Exactly.
So even the Louis Vuitton one, she said that it kind of been a tradition for her to buy a Louis Vuitton bag.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
every birthday or something like that. So every time she's making one of those deals, there's actually something. So I'm pretty sure she's been thrown like hella deals, and she just declined some of them, and she accepted the one that she really, you know,
no, that's a good shout.
Care about, which is really great to see. So, man, I'm looking forward for Forbes this year, man. It's going to be looking stupid. All these rappers are going to be using Naomi Osaka as a bar. Just wait, Cordae is definitely doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense.
I showed a tweet to Eugene about a guy that was saying, "Oh, Cordae is a stay-at-home husband with a rich and fine ass woman. Like, damn, he's living my dream."
Yeah, and I think I was fine. I think I said that. Yeah, to be fair to Cordae, he's doing his thing, but obviously the money's different.
Oh, he is. He copped a Birkin, but you have to when your woman's adding
you. Levels.
Boy, levels. Need to get her free Birkins.
But no, it's just great, and obviously a lot of the fans they're loving it too, because like, what is there not to love about Naomi Osaka? Like,
yeah, I was saying this to myself earlier, like you can see that her personality has grown. She's more comfortable. Like you watch how she was before and watch her now, like she's like, it's just crazy. I knew she was going to blow, but I did not expect it to go this fast and this big, and I'm just happy that I've just always been a fan of her.
I want to shout out Alexandria Brooks on IG, one of our followers, for one of the comments she left on that post about the North Carolina Courage investment. Mm-hmm. So she said, "Yeah, Osaka's basically planting seeds early in her career, and it's great to see." And that is a true statement, because, like you said, she's 23 years old. And like she's making all these investments, and it's just
because a lot of these athletes go broke once they don't play.
Exactly.
Anymore.
So she's literally setting herself up, like
life.
Yeah, which is just fantastic, and it's just a brilliant example for like up and coming players. So shouts out to Naomi.
And this is a sign that you put your black kids into tennis. Guys, tennis is expensive, but it's worth it.
Straight up. And yeah, the other news on the men's side now. So this kind of broke fairly recently. I want to say like earlier this week, Gael Monfils splitting with his coach, and getting what's his name?
Team's old coach.
Exactly. Just gonna get his name. because I don't want to butcher it, Gonta Breznik, that's it, who's like worked with some pretty big players like in his career. So obviously Thiem is the most like, I guess, recent high profile player that he's worked with, and that was a long relationship he had with Thiem. But he's also worked with like Boris Becker, McEnroe, and like, yeah, other players like from the 80s, like big time players. So this could be a big thing, like in terms of like Monfils's next step, because I know he did say, I think it was last year or the year before last, that he still has like dreams of like, yeah, winning a Grand Slam, even though he's like, what, 30, 34, 35, like.
Yes, he actually can. Definitely. Just feel like there's just, yeah, like he can. Like, I just felt like last year was definitely his year. Like, he started off really good, but when I see highlights of like his videos of him playing when I was scrolling on Instagram, I'm like, fucking hell, this guy's so good.
The talent is unreal. Like, there's no doubt in the talent. It's just literally applying it in well, an event in terms of like a Grand Slam event anyway, which is 2 weeks, and just maintaining that level. Like, and there's no doubt he can do it. It's just a question of like, hopefully,
it's tough,
when.
Because we need
like,
to keep in mind, all players are hungry when it comes to Grand Slams. Facts. Grand Slams, you're always surprised. Like, facts. It's always that one win or that one loss, or it's just like, what the hell happened? And I think people sometimes just tend to forget that, yo, it's a Grand Slam. This is not small tournament.
No, we'll talk. So, yeah, that's Monfils. And I look forward to kind of seeing how that progresses. And then lastly, Felix Auger-Aliassime. So, two bits of news, which I think is significant. First and foremost, the FAA points for change thing that he was doing last year to raise funds for kids back in Togo. He's going to be doing that again this season, which is a great like gesture, and just like shouts out to him for that, because that's huge. So yeah, we appreciate that from Felix. And also, again, I guess sponsorship news. I hate watching athletes' money, but we're gonna go there.
I love him, man.
We're gonna go there. So yeah, Felix is no longer a Nike athlete. He's now moved over to the Three Stripes of Adidas, which is quite interesting. And I'm not to say I listen, Adidas, Nike, great. If you want to sponsor the show, like, come through.
Yeah, no. But, I'm is the next, like, they're two big brands.
They are, exactly. So,
in tennis as well, so there's something.
So, yeah, Felix is now Team Adidas, and I look forward to kind of seeing.
Was he not Adidas before?
No, he was Nike. He was Nike.
No, before Nike, not Adidas.
I think he was.
I'm going crazy because I heard people saying, hearing like going, oh, he's gone back to Adidas.
Yeah, because I think there was a picture that he posted of him, like, as a kid wearing an Adidas shirt. But I think when he was a junior, I'm pretty sure it was Babalat. Like, he used to wear Babalat clothes, because obviously he uses Babalat rackets. So I think he also had like a clothing sponsorship deal with them as well. So yeah,
it's interesting to see. I feel like, I don't know if it's me, but I feel like Nike's slowly losing their tennis. I mean,
me personally, I'm Team Nike. Like, I love Nike.
Oh, I am.
Like,
I am.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm upset. It's like, yeah. Oh, come on.
I don't know. I quite like some of Nike's like gear. Like,
to be I'm gonna be honest. The past 2 years, I've been kind of disappointed a little bit. Adidas has been stepping up in their gear, to be fair.
Because I'm just trying to think, like, who are Adidas's like main tennis athletes on the men's side? Dominic Thiem, Alexander Zverev. Tsitsipas as well. They've got quite a few on the men's side. They've got quite a few.
They're smart, because I feel like they got a lot of the new.
Yeah,
gen.
The young. Yeah, the next gen. Yeah.
But this is when I feel like Nike comes and snaps them, because, for example, they had Osaka.
True. Yeah.
And then after she won the Australian Open. And obviously Nike is a huge brand. It's just, of course, you're gonna be like, bye.
Yeah, I want to say Kobe had a lot to do with that as well, as in with Osaka going to Nike.
I think it's more than that as well. I mean, growing up, when you're thinking of athletes, you're thinking of Nike.
Yeah, true.
You know, from Jordan to Kobe to LeBron to Tiger to Serena to Roger. was once with them for so long, and now he went to Uniqlo, and that was the money thing. 300 bloody million.
Oh, what, for Federer?
Who's mad? Yeah, that Uniqlo deal was huge. That was one of the biggest deals.
Wowzers. So
that was the only reason why if they had to splash that money to take him out of Nike, think about it.
Yeah. No, fair play. So yeah, we look forward to seeing the looks, the Adidas looks on Felix this season. So yeah, that kind of wraps up in terms of like news roundup. Mm-hmm. So I guess to talk about, well, the only topic now left to talk about is Australia and, like, you know, this hard lockdown situation.
Oh boy, that was crazy.
A total of 72 players were subjected to hard lockdown. So that was like a strict 14-day like quarantine in their hotel room. So like they weren't allowed to leave their hotel room. And as we record this, it's a Friday. Obviously, we'll be listening to this on a Monday. So players would have been out of quarantine.
Some of them have been training at midnight.
Which is great. Which is great to see, and like shouts out to them. But I did find it quite interesting how like some players kind of, you know, handled it better than others, I think is fair to say. I don't know what your views were.
No, do you know what? I felt like a lot of people were very thing to players. This is my thing. A lot of the players said, number one, some of the things that happened, they were not told that will be the case.
Yeah.
Maybe it's partly their fault for not asking.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's partly also the Australian Open team for not being like as straightforward. Yeah. That's clarifying. So at the end of the day, the way I see it, every single one of us has complained about how the pandemic has affected us. Every single person. There's no one person that'd be like, okay, this has been great, blah, blah. Yes, it has been great for some parts, but every single person has complained in some bit. So I found it kind of unfair. Everyone was attacking them and like, oh yeah, but this is that, da, 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 da. Like, it's still inconvenient. Do you get what I mean?
No,
so I definitely understand. I definitely feel them. You know, it's not like it's a small tournament. It is a grand slam. I totally understand at the same time Australian people who are like, you know, for example, some of them probably have not seen their family for over a year or, you know, stuff like that. Or they've seen family dying and then they've seen. But just because you're seeing a tennis player doesn't one necessarily mean that they're rich, that they're top players. Doesn't mean that they have the resources. Doesn't mean that they were aware like everyone else.
Yeah.
So, you know, and also with this thing, at first when Federer pulled out, and then it was said it was because his wife was not happy about the condition of keeping the kids inside for 14 days. I thought it was actually cap. I was like, this guy's lying. And then when I saw everything that was happening, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what? Right. But it shows that maybe her or him or someone in his team asks the right questions.
Definitely.
What's going to happen if someone on the plane tests positive? Can I take my own private plane? I'm pretty sure the players asked that, but they've not been allowed to do so, which I can understand.
No, because we will get onto that, because there has been a bit of like controversy in terms of like certain players in different parts of Australia. So Adelaide, for instance, which is where this a day at the drive event, which we'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, I think that's a great point you make about Federer. Like, clearly, and obviously, yeah, you've got to take into account he's coming off the back of surgery as well.
Exactly, so, yeah. So that's why I thought it was a thing where, oh, just say you're not ready, fam. Yeah, it's okay.
But that would make perfect. And the way he is, you just know all of those questions were asked, like, because
100%, exactly.
Meticulous when it comes to like preparation and like just being on point with all that kind of stuff. So
I think that's where the players went wrong. I think they just got the information and said, okay, let's pack our bags and go.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of them went back and said, okay, what if this?
Because on that as well, there were players that were coming out saying, we were all aware that if someone did test positive on the plane, we would all have to basically, we'll all be basically conditioned to this hard lockdown.
Some said that they were not. But I'm guessing with that bit, I bet those players were the ones who asked.
Yeah. Or were just paying attention.
Or were paying attention. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So that's why at the same time, I was like, but at the same time, I can definitely understand from their bit. Like, it's very, you know, annoying. Like, you're playing for a huge grand slam and everything. yeah, like I definitely feel them. Like it is what it is. Like I just feel like I just wish people just cut them some slack. Like it was just like come on, we've all complained about this fucking pandemic.
What did you make of Novak Djokovic's comments? Or like not comments, is like requests.
First of all, they were not requests; they were suggestions.
Because let's just clarify. So Novak is like Novak's one of a few players that are in Adelaide. So it's Novak, Dominic Thiem, Serena Williams.
Most of the big players,
pretty much, yeah. Because they're playing in this exhibition, played in this exhibition now, the Drive exhibition. So they're not literally that their quarantine isn't as strict.
They were quarantined, but yeah. They could, I think they had only 1 hour to train out or something like that with the same people.
And also they had they were allowed to bring bigger teams as well. So a lot of the players are saying, it's unfair, like that these players in Adelaide, they're not literally restricted to the same conditions.
Before they left the house.
So
I'm saying is that don't wait till you're there and then seeing them and then complain. It's not their fault. The country where they were, it was fine.
Novak being the leader that he is, like you said, kind of came with these requests, or not requests, suggestions. You said
suggestions.
Which, how did you take that?
Honestly, I felt like people were actually giving a lot of shit for no reason.
Same.
He is someone who is aware of his privilege. And he tried to use it.
And which is what he kind of stated as well, in his statement. Yeah.
He stated that in his statement. And literally, I caught tweet. I think I was like, people know it was a suggestion. They were just giving him shit. And the media was flipping it around. If it was Federer who did what he did, I swear to you, it would have been completely different.
Or Rafa. No, I completely agree.
Rafa. Oh my God.
Completely agree.
But because it's Djokovic, people like to attack him. But I actually bear in mind, I'm not a huge fan of this guy, but when he did that, I was like, raw, that's shouts actually out. Quite nice trying to use to, because these people they know it. Everyone knows the big threes, when they say jump, these people will jump. So he tried to use his privilege. Obviously, this time it didn't work because it's not with the Australian Open, it's not even just about them, it's about whatever the government bloody says.
Exactly, yeah.
So they're trying to follow, they had to implement how they can make the tournament work and as also make sure they follow the law.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they had to have some discussion with the government 100% to allow all of this bullshit to happen. When I mean bullshit, I'm talking about all of them even coming into play. But I think he was just trying to find a suggestion. He tried to use his privilege, and unfortunately, it backfired. I feel like people are just bored because they're at home, and they just started just making noise. But
and like
shout
you said,
to him for trying to help the players.
He's an easy target. I think everyone,
a very easy target. People know it, which I think it will stop once Federer and Nadal retires.
So this is a debate maybe for another show, but so what you say?
For another show, for another time. But I generally think once those two are out, people will start loving Djokovic again.
Okay, so you think Djokovic will stay on once Federer and Nadal retire?
He's much older. I'm thinking because of the age, unless something happens.
Fair. Yeah,
he's much younger than that's why I said before in all these episodes that he's the one's going to have the most amount of slams out of all of them.
No, you have said that.
Unless the new gen are catching up quickly, but the big threes are tough to lose to. I mean, to win against.
Were there any players you were impressed with? Because obviously a lot of them are posting videos on social media and stuff. Because I really liked. I say liked. I've been impressed with the Ukrainian girl, Marta Kustyuk. She's been putting in work, and she was one of the players in this hard lockdown, so she wasn't allowed to leave her hotel room, but she was posting videos of all her workouts, and I just thought, flipping out, she's getting it in,
they all were honestly, they were all good.
Obviously Heather Watson as well, on TikTok doing her thing.
She was making hella TikTok. She was having a fun, but I'm glad that they're out of that right now. Anyways.
No, definitely. And shouts out to them, because that's
it's not easy.
It wouldn't have been easy, and it's quite stressful. Considering they're preparing for a major Grand Slam, that isn't ideal preparation. So
exactly.
Yeah. We kind of touched on it just briefly. The A Day at the Drive exhibition. which saw Serena go up against Naomi Osaka. And I stayed up for this, which was kind of mad, and I'm slightly paying for it now as we record, but it's all good. So yeah, that went to, it was basically a best of three set match, and it was a set all, and then they played a 10-point tiebreak to decide it, and Serena ended up winning. And I didn't really take much away from it in terms of like the way they were both playing, like, because it was an exhibition, so there wasn't really much you can really take away. But I just like the energy, like, between them both, like, just good vibes, good energy. They were joking in between, like, changeovers, and like, it was just nice to see.
It was nice seeing that after years of people making it seem like there was beef between them and stuff, and forcing this beef between them, which was
not there.
Very, very, very annoying. It was so frustrating. Some were even from the fans as well, which was even more annoying, because it's like, fam, like,
I don't want to call anybody out, but I don't think you should take some of those accounts that seriously. Like, they're fan accounts.
Because now they're looking like fools.
they're fan accounts, but like, yeah.
You know, out here chilling and bantering.
Some of the stuff is quite silly.
It was nice to see. It was, most importantly, it was nice to see the crowd.
Oh, man, yeah. What I saw, if you were queuing up to get into the venue, you had to wear a mask. But once you were in, you didn't have to wear one, in terms of if you were in the crowd.
But the thing is, it's because it's outdoors, I'm guessing it's okay.
Yeah.
Because you know they say that, when you're outdoors and stuff, like, it's better than being indoors, blah, blah, blah.
Because there was a roof, but
but it was pretty outdoors though.
Yeah, well, it was outdoors. It was out, and also as well, like, seeing the ball kids, like, they weren't wearing masks, and that's not something we're used to, like, in this time. Like, so, and I think at the Australian Open, and for these like upcoming events anyway, I think it's going to be the same kind of like procedure. So like, you're going to have fans in the stadium. It won't be full capacity. But
yeah, no, definitely.
There'll be fans in the stadium, and
I'm so jealous.
A lot of people are saying, like, yeah, Australia right now is like giving people
they're so lucky.
Major, like, what's the word? Is it FOMO, or when you is it fear?
Yeah, FOMO.
Yeah, fear of missing out, or whatever that is. But yeah, shouts out to Australia.
You know what? At the same time, even us, as we're watching back home, is still entertaining, because having a crowd and everything is even much better. So definitely, the matches are up.
Serena even said it as well, like, it's been like a year, like, since they played in front of a crowd, so like that anyway. So for the players, it's a big deal. So
I know the players are probably excited as well, so it's gonna be different. That's why I wish Federer was playing, man. Like, I'm honestly, do you reckon he's regretting?
I don't think so.
You know, everything turned out.
I don't think so. I think
he was going to go to Adelaide, though. He wasn't going to go to Melbourne. So he would have had like a tough thingy.
But then again,
he has four little kids. Exactly. Two sets of twins, fam.
And I think he's going to be like, he is kind of like Serena in that he kind of brings the family with him. Like, they travel as a team.
But that's why it said the wife. I think she was the one who
facts.
I'm not doing it, and he's very loyal to his girl. You know, we're Leos. Us Leos are loyal.
You saying she wears the trousers?
No, I think
I'm joking.
I think the thing where, I mean, I'm pretty sure out of everyone, she probably wants him to win a slam so bad so he can retire and leave, and they can live life. You see her reactions in the crowd. Like, it's like she's the one who's even playing. She loves that man. But I definitely understand, man. It's not easy staying indoors as you're just adults. Can you imagine that with four kids? Then I was thinking, just leave the kids at home then. You know, it's a pandemic. You don't want to miss any moment with your children. You just never know what's going to happen. Shout out to him. Being a dad must be first, and then the rest is second.
Facts. So yeah, coming kind of towards the end now, and like I was saying, we're recording this on a Friday. So once this comes out, it would be Monday, and obviously events would have been like kind of happening or on the verge of taking place. But as things stand, We do have draw news for the two WTA events. So we've got the Gippsland Trophy, which is a WTA 500. And again, shouts out to the WTA. I say shouts out. I like anyway the rebrand, the whole WTA like rebrand that they kind of like did at the end of last year.
Is that it?
Losing me that look. I was like, what's she gonna say?
I'm happy they rebranded. Is that it? The one thing though? Oh, we didn't talk about this. They deleted the ATP and WTA app.
Oh yeah, which caused a lot of a lot of uproar on socials.
I don't get it, but I've been using, for those who want, I know there's some that I've been talking, but I've been using one called Tennis One.
Okay.
It's pretty, honestly, I was using it when, like, during Abu Dhabi and those stuff, and honestly, it's really good. Like, you see what's live, what's been completed. When you get to home, you see everything about your favorite players. And the UX experience is amazing. It's free. It's really good. But I know some people, I've mentioned a few, but I've personally been using Tennis One, and so far it's good.
Is that an app? Or is that like...
Yeah, it's an app. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, no, because I can't do like websites. So that's long. I want to open an app and just get what I need.
Because I'm pretty old school and probably like long, but I just go Google. So that basically shows the event, and then it's probably the most long-winded way of doing it. But yeah, for me, it works.
Yeah, no, I prefer the app. That's why, because the WTA ATP app was absolutely trash, to be very honest. It looked like an app from 2005. So instead of, I was just like, instead of deleting it, how about you rebrand it to make it more,
with the time, modern.
But there you are, just deleting it. For what? Like, just check the fucking scores. Whoever made that decision is an idiot.
So we need some kind of like, or any web developers out there, or like app developers, get on it. Like, there's a lot of money to be made, because the tennis community is literally calling out for a decent tennis app.
The WTA actually had like a job at like quite a few. I saw a social media manager, I saw some, so I was like, yeah, you guys need like a whole new team.
It's just poor. But anyway, yeah, getting back to what I was saying. So the one of the first events is the Gippsland Trophy, and that's a WTA 500 event. And also it's quite, I think it's significant. We should also like mention this season anyway, for the first time anyway, the WTA will be kind of not rebranding tournaments, but the way they're categorized, it would be like the ATP. So that, you know, you have ATP 250, ATP 500, ATP 1000.
Which I prefer, to be fair.
Long overdue. Like, so it just kind of just makes everything fall in line. Instead of having WTA, what was it? Like
Premier.
Confusing. And it's just straightforward 500, 250, and I think 1000, obviously, for the Masters events. Like I said, the Gippsland Trophy, in that we've got Asigwe, the 18-year-old American. She opens up against Anastasia Potapova in the first round. And in the second round, Simona Halep awaits, because Halep gets a bye, a straight bye into the second round of being the top seed. And also taking part in that is Paolini. So she'll take on Rebecca Marino in the first round. And in the second round, the 10th seed, gonna butcher this name, China's Qian Quan, she awaits in round two. And Coco Gauff, she's also taking part in the Gippsland Trophy, so she'll open up against Jill Teichmann of Switzerland. Quite significant. So she's in the same half of the draw as the second seed, Naomi Osaka.
Okay, yeah, I remember, I saw that. She's getting a bye as well, isn't she?
They could potentially meet in the third round. Osaka gets a bye into the second round. So that's an event to look out for.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
And then we've got the Yarra Valley Classic, again, another WTA 500. And this is where...
Is that next week as well?
Yeah. So there's three events taking place next week, as in on the WTA WTA calendar.
I wonder what, I was just, do you know, at one point I stopped keeping up because it was like, boom, an event. Boom. Yeah. I was like, all right, you know what, yeah. When it starts, because I was like, I know, confused. Yeah. I was just like, why is, what are all these announcements? I could not keep
it's
up.
Mad.
I didn't know what was going on.
Because after, so just Yarra Valley, sorry, quickly. Serena and Venus, they're both playing in that. So Serena gets a bye into the second round. And she awaits Victoria Kuzmova or Daria Gavrilova of, she's Australian actually, Gavrilova, in round two. And then Venus, she takes on Arantxa Rus of, I think she's from Holland, I want to say Rus, in the first round. And in the second round, she could take on Petra Kvitova, because again,
oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, Kvitova gets a bye into the second
then
round.
Then again, Petra, it's Petra, but we'll see.
So that's quite exciting to kind of look forward
to. That'll be a good match, though.
No, definitely.
That'll be a good match.
And then the third event, which is one that's been added because of the whole hard lockdown. Mm-hmm. So the draw hasn't been made for this one. But taking part in this one, we'll have Sloane Stephens, because she was caught up, unfortunately, on one of those planes with a positive test, as well as Heather Watson. And yeah, in that field, it's a 28-player field, and Bianca Andreescu, she'll be playing in that tournament too.
So that tournament is only for those who were in the hard lockdown?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it's only 28 players in that draw, so... Victoria Azarenka, she will also be in the draw as well. So that's quite a good kind of like level of player. Like, and I think everyone's gonna be excited to see Andreescu, because it's been a minute.
It's been a very long time. This girl won a slam and then
bounced.
It's been quiet.
So yeah, that's the women's stuff.
She's gonna have a lot of pressure on her, though, definitely.
I agree. But I'm excited to see her, because obviously she's a talent. So. Yeah, I want to see that Osaka Andreescu match. But do you not remember that they played? When was it actually? It was 2019. The year end event. This is before we were podding.
And
I'm pretty sure Osaka won that. And I think Andreescu ended up pulling out of the event. After, like, cause she was suffering with an injury.
As someone who's young, I know, she's getting a lot of injuries.
Very unfortunate.
It's crazy.
But yeah, we hope obviously everything goes smoothly, like with all three of those events. And on the men's side now, there were two events taking place next week in Melbourne. So I say next week. We're recording on Friday, so it is next week for us. So the Murray River Open. I want to say it's Melbourne 2. I can't keep up, but
honestly, it's just too much.
But yeah, we've got Felix in that draw. Also, Francis Tiafoe, the Yima brothers as well, and Michael Moe. They're all taking part in the Murray River Open. And yeah, as we record this, the draw hasn't been made yet. So we just hope they all get good draws, and they're not drawn against each other like early on. Please God.
Yeah.
And yeah, good luck to them in that event. And then also finally now the ATP Cup taking place in Melbourne. So we've got, well, from our perspective anyway, Gael Monfils, who's leading Team France in Group C. And yeah, he'll be playing against Austria with obviously Dominic Thiem and them man. and Italy with again quite an exciting team. They've got Matteo Berrettini and Yannick Sinner. So that's going to be quite exciting to kind of see, well, yeah, that whole event kind of play out. And obviously Novak Djokovic is playing in that, as well as Rafa Nadal, Serbia and Spain respectively. So yeah, man, tennis is back, Lucy. We give thanks.
Tennis is back.
We give thanks.
Back to late shift.
Don't. My sleeping pattern is so messed up. Like, right now, I don't even know how I've recorded this podcast. Like, because I don't even know where I am right now, honestly. Like, I've not even slept. I've just been literally working, no sleep. And it's going to be like this now for the next, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's gonna be like that for a while now.
Fun times, but no, I've enjoyed.
I'm so happy.
I've enjoyed, and I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to
100%. Same. I can't wait. Honestly, I really can't wait.
So yeah, like we kind of said as well, we'll be recording a Australian Open like preview pod. I want to say next weekend. So yeah, thanks guys for listening. And enjoy all the tennis coming up.
Yeah, and stay tuned on Twitter. We're going to be tweeting,
of course,
about all the stuff. Yeah, I am on holiday next week, so I'm gonna be up all night, probably watching all of those matches since I don't have to wake up early for work. So that'll be lovely.
You enjoy your break. We will catch you like we said next weekend for the Australian Open preview pod. So until then, take care guys, and yeah, thanks again for listening.